So if you still have your Bible with you, just keep turning to that page on Luke. My sermon today is an open invitation. Let me begin by asking you one very simple question. So who can be a follower of Jesus? Okay. Who can be a follower of Jesus? Well, if you look at the passage that we just read, maybe you can rephrase that question that way. How special are Simon Peter, James, and John? So why did Jesus call them? If you are familiar with the entire Bible, I would say, well, theologically speaking, the fishermen like Simon Peter, James, and John had done nothing to merit Jesus' call to them. Regardless of what Jesus may have seen in these fishermen, well, to argue that they call the most capable or the most qualified to be his disciple will contradict like the most important element in the gospel story. The fishermen were not called because of their qualifications, character, or potential. God's call is as unpredictable as it is unmerited. If you take a look at this passage, you can see the universal invitation. Usually we call this passage the Great Commission on Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We should take note particularly on the command that Jesus is giving to the disciples, is to go and make disciples of all nations. So that calling to become a disciple of Jesus is universal. Okay, there is no additional qualification attached on this Great Commission. Let's go back to the question I asked you earlier. Who can be a follower of Jesus? How special are Simon Peter, James, and John? Well, if you want to argue, you can still argue that, like from the gospel accounts that we just read, Luke 5, well, actually Jesus went to these guys and called them particularly. And in fact, they became three of the early church leaders. Like they became the 12 disciples of Jesus. And they're so special. So how can you say they're not so special? Maybe we should distinguish different kind of callings. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. Well, there's a calling for discipleship, to become a disciple of Jesus. And this calling is universal, no qualification. And of course, if you want to narrow down and want to like discuss and talk about specific calling, there's still specific calling. For example, you can argue that actually God has a calling for vocation for everyone. So this type of calling is specific, it's tailor-made for you. God calls you to become a pastor, God calls you to become an engineer, God calls you to do this and to do that. This is a calling for vocation, and we can argue that this calling is specific. Or maybe within the church setting, you can argue that there's a specific calling for a particular ministry. So God calls a particular person to do this and to do that. But now, we are just focusing on the calling for discipleship. And calling for discipleship is universal and general. And this is very important. We should remember that. So let's sidetrack a little bit. If you want to extend this discussion to a calling for vocation or especially for calling for specific ministry, there's something that we need to notice. Okay. Although calling for discipleship is general and universal, and you don't need to be qualified to do that. So you can be a nobody to become a disciple of Jesus. But somehow, when you feel called by God to do a particular ministry, or feel called by God to do a particular job, a career, at times, not everybody, but some people will somehow believe that I have the specific talent and gift so that God calls me to do this and that. And if this is the case for you, beware. Don't ever think that you are somebody in church if you are doing a particular ministry. And don't even think that God calls you to be a doctor, to be a pastor, to be an engineer because you have something merited. We should all be thankful. It's all about grace. Calling for discipleship is grace, and calling for specific ministry and calling for specific vocation is also all about grace. And sometimes people may think that when they're called to a particular ministry in church, they make a lot of sacrifices, time, money, etc., etc. And somehow, people will think that, some Christians think that they need to receive more respect because I have put, sacrificed more. I have spent so much money and time, so I need to be respected among others. And these are all wrong perceptions. Every calling from God is about grace. It's not about how good you are and who you are. And if you want to go back to today's question, who can be a follower of Jesus? Yes, calling for discipleship is general and universal. If you want to think about the 12 disciples, what kind of people are these guys? They're fishermen, tax collector, well, probably people hate the most at that time because they try to squeeze money from their own fellows. And there's a politician there. So people from all walks of life are among the 12 disciples. And of course, if you want to remember, Judas is also among the 12 disciples. And if you want to go to the most extreme case about Jesus' disciples, probably you should take a look at 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy verses 13 to 15, Paul says, "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that is in Christ Jesus." There is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul calls himself the worst sinner. And of course, there's a good reason for that, because he is a church persecutor. He used to kill Christians and persecute churches. But Jesus also called Paul, and Paul become one of the famous disciples of Jesus. So probably the first thing we need to remember is everyone is welcome in this invitation. This is an open invitation, and anyone is welcome. But we should also take note that anyone also means everyone. Jesus removes qualifications to follow. Even Paul could be a disciple. And also Jesus accepts everyone without approving of their behavior. If you still recall the passage in John chapter 8, verses actually 1 to 11 or 2 to 11, I'm not quoting the entire passage, but I believe that if you have come to church for a year or so, you should actually know this story by heart. At dawn, he, who is Jesus, appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. So you remember that story? Okay, I will skip the middle session. The session talks about like how these teachers of the law and Pharisees try to trick Jesus, but Jesus resolved the problem. But I just want to focus at the end, how Jesus responded to the woman. Verse 10, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has anyone condemned you?" And she said, no one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and live your life of sin." From this passage, it's very clear that Jesus accepts this woman without first, like, approving or changing, like, how she behaves. She is still someone who has just committed adultery. But from this account, we know that Jesus accepts her. Just like when you first come to church, you know that you have different background. Maybe you have different temper that is not so godly, and maybe there's still sin in your life. But Jesus still welcomes you and accepts you first. When you come to church and becomes a believer, a disciple, then with the power of God and the Holy Spirit, your behavior will change gradually, and that's called sanctification. So it's very important not to think that you have to be a perfect person in order to be a committed disciple of Jesus. This should be the other way around. You should commit yourself to Jesus, and Jesus will help you to become a better person. And that's so simple. But don't take me wrong, and also don't take the Bible wrong. It doesn't mean that you can continue to be a sinful person after you become a disciple of Jesus. If you take at this passage, the last sentence of Jesus, although Jesus didn't condemn that woman, he finished his conversation with the sentence, "Go now and live your life of sin." So he approved the woman without approving the sin. And that's important. If you have been a long-time Christian, and if you know that you're still sinning or have some ungodly character, don't use this as an excuse. Don't say that, well, Jesus loves you as you are. Okay? Although there is some truth in that statement, but this is not your own excuse. God wants you to become a godly person. God wants you to be like him, and this is very important. So remember, this calling, this invitation is to anyone and is to everyone, and Jesus accepts everyone without approving of their behavior. Since there is no qualifications, it means that you have no excuses. I have met different Christians and talked to them like why you do not commit wholeheartedly to Jesus. Although you come to church every Sunday, but how come you just seems to be a churchgoer instead of a follower of Jesus? And sometimes I receive answers like, well, I'm so busy. I have lots of work to do. I have family to take care. I can't just spend all my time at church and in ministry. If we take a look at today's passage, Luke 5, actually there's something we can learn. So it's one of the excuses, you're too busy. If you take a look at this passage again, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, you have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will net down the nets." Well, it's important to observe from this account that the call to discipleship did not come in a holy place. It didn't appear like it didn't take place in a temple or synagogue, but in the midst of Simon Peter's daily work. This point is very significant. Not because God doesn't call people in a holy place, sometimes he did, but because it is a sign of the work of God's kingdom reaching into the arena of human life. And this is very important. Where can you hear the word of God? Well, I know you guys will have your retreat in September, and you should be looking forward to that particular event, and that's good. God speaks to Christians in retreats, okay? And God speaks to people on Sundays, in church setting, in the holy places. But God also calls you and communicates to you in your daily life. God not only wants you to follow him, to follow Jesus in church on Sundays. Jesus wants you to follow him 24/7 in your daily life. If you're a student, God still speaks to you when you study, when you're preparing for exams. If you're a businessman, God is concerned. Jesus is concerned about how you conduct your business. God still speaks to you in the midst of your work. This is very important. From this account, we know that Jesus calls Simon Peter in the midst of his work. Being too busy is not an excuse to committed discipleship. Okay, maybe you are, just because you are busy with all your family and work and stuff, then you need to commit to Jesus wholeheartedly. Because in all areas of your life, Jesus wants to walk with you and speak to you. So this is very important. And sometimes when I talk to particularly second generation Christians, so what does it mean by second generation Christians? So you come to church because of your parents, okay? And somehow, if you are still young, you may still somehow think that Jesus is, just using the Old Testament terms, the God of my father and mother, right? still not very personal, still want to experience God more firsthand. And sometimes you may still ask this question, like, how come my parents always told me like how they experienced God and how God answered their prayers so real, so close, but I just didn't feel it. When I pray, I didn't see any supernatural miracles happening to me. So if this is one of the excuses in not committing to your faith, maybe you can take a look at this account again. Luke chapter 5, when they have done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions was astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Yes, if you ask me, is this a miracle? Yes, this is a miracle. But if you ask me, is this supernatural? Well, yes and no. Okay? Just take a look. There's nothing supernatural here. Well, basically, Jesus just asked them to do that they have been doing for a long time, trying for a long time. Okay? But this time, they got a lot of fish instead of none. Okay? If you don't, well, if someone don't believe in Jesus and don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, they can always say that he's just lucky. And if they don't believe, they can say, well, maybe Jesus is an expert in fishing, so he knows the trick, okay, that Simon Peter and the other companions didn't know. In today's life, God also meets us and do miracles, but not necessarily supernatural. We can still experience God firsthand in all areas of our life, but these miracles, this encounter, need not be supernatural. So when we say, like, God speaks to me today, it doesn't necessarily mean that God speaks to me in an audible voice, right? God can still speak to me through the Bible, through the pastor, and through our Christian friends, through church. When we say that God has answered our prayer, it can mean that God has empowered you, like to concentrate on your exam and to have the ability to finish the job, the task. Okay, you can still encounter God in your daily life, and these things need not be supernatural. But being not supernatural doesn't mean that God is not involved, doesn't mean that Jesus is absent in that activity. You need, and we all need, to practice the sensitivity to experience God's presence. God is real, and he still works in your daily life. And this is very important, and we should all remember that the miracles performed by Jesus need not be supernatural. Just like this account, it's a miracle, but it's not necessarily supernatural. Finally, we need to know that although it's for anyone and also for everyone, but it's about everything. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Jesus commissions the fishermen Simon Peter and John and James for kingdom service, for catching people, using the fishing metaphor, okay, in catching people, making disciples. And of course, this call for kingdom service requires a reversal of priorities and a reordering of commitments. So the disciple left everything and they follow Jesus. If you take a look at the account as a whole, you can say, like, all these people, like these fishermen, left everything at what would have been the height of their career. They have like a full boat of fish, okay? Very, very nice. And their trust and obedience have led them to an unimaginable catch. And if you believe in the gospel of prosperity, so if Jesus will help you and so you become prosperous, you can find this is a proof text, right? and actually they want to catch fish, and Jesus actually gave them lots of fish. And the gospel of prosperity has become true because they believe they prosper. But such prosperity is short-lived because they believe, because their success is a sign of God's power, they abandoned their prosperity and their success. They do not take their prosperity as a sign of divine intervention and leave it at that. Rather, their prosperity itself is a sign that they are sinners that they need a different life. And when Jesus invites them to such a life, their prosperity and their success are left behind for a life of what? Wandering and hardship. Although Jesus welcomes everyone and anyone, no qualifications is needed. We should still remember that it's about everything. And this passage probably sums up this important message. Then he said to them all, he is Jesus, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. So, yes, the call for discipleship is general, universal. You do not need to become a perfect Christian in order to commit to Jesus. But we should not be thinking that like it's an easy thing to do, because although it's for anyone and everyone, it's about everything. We should deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us today's passage. We thank you for your calling to become a committed disciple of Jesus. And we know that we don't need to become a perfect person, a perfect Christian, in order to commit to you and follow you. But we pray that you will help us to calculate the cost of becoming a committed disciple and give us the power and courage to do so, because we know that in following you wholeheartedly, we will truly experience the abundant life that you promised to every one of us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.